Good morning and welcome to our chapel service. My apologies, we ran out of bulletins. But the hymn is hymn number 421. We are called by one vocation, hymn 421.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 20th chapter of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with the 25th verse. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be among you. But whoever would be great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. May be seated. We all want to matter. We all want to make a difference. There isn't any one of us here today that doesn't want to live a life of consequence. We strive for this because we need meaning in our lives. We long for this because we need purpose to our existence. And quite frankly, being remembered is one of man's oldest remedies to overcome the cold, dark reality of the grave. In our text for today, James and John, the so-called sons of thunder, also wanted to matter. They wanted it so badly that they got their mother to go and ask Jesus if they could rule alongside of him. For they wanted to rule Christ's kingdom with him, one on his right, the other on his left. Two of the most powerful positions in the ancient world. But to this Jesus responded, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." This is God's formula for meaning in our lives. This is how God decides who really matters. First, the first shall be last. This statement, though, doesn't make a whole lot of sense in our world. Didn't make a whole lot of sense in James and John's world as well. For we don't really matter in our world by serving others. No, we matter in this 21st century, as well as James and John's day, by how many serve us. Now, perhaps we might object to that at first. For how many humanitarians and philanthropists aren't there out there? Don't they matter? Don't we celebrate their contributions with Nobel Prizes and other prestigious awards? No, I grant you that. We indeed pay lip service to the achievements of these individuals. But how many Americans pay big bucks to spend time with Nobel Prize winners? Which humanitarians and philanthropists fill our television screens at night or have millions of followers on Facebook? No, it's in the achievement of celebrity status that our world finds its meaning. It's in the worship of celebrity that it garners that our world finds its fulfillment. If we were to choose today between being the next Norman Borlaug or being the next Matt Damon, to be honest, we'd all choose to be the next Matt Damon every day of the week and twice on Sundays. Yet for all the worship that celebrities garner, they never really seem to have real fulfillment in this life. And sad to say, many of them take their own lives just after they finally achieve that coveted celebrity that they fought so long to attain. Clearly speaking, seeking the service of others is not the way we really matter in this world. Well, perhaps we matter by serving God most. After all, doesn't the Small Catechism say, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Surely the great heroes of the faith, like Mary over there, that's how we really matter, by serving our Lord. After all, Father Abraham followed God up out of the Ur of the Chaldeans all the way to the Promised Land. There he did not spare his own son when God put him to the test on the holy Mount of Moriah. Yet to this, St. Paul retorts, for if Abraham was justified by his works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. You see, we don't really matter by serving God. In fact, God never intended us to earn our salvation by observing the law. And even if this were possible, we are unable to do anything that does not serve ourselves in some shape or form. That's evident even in our chapel attendance for today. For some didn't find time today to make God a priority in their lives. Other of us came because it was expected. Many of us else maybe came because we're trying to butter God up in order to attain a divine favor, perhaps on the next hour's test or quiz. If we're really honest with ourselves, though, we'd all have to say with St. Paul, our end is destruction, our God is our belly, and we glory in our shame with minds set on earthly things. So what then is the point of it all? Why go on living? Why bother at all? our Lord provides us a profound answer of gospel to answer that very question. He says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life for many. What was that? God serves me because I cannot serve God? You mean to say that I matter because God deigned to serve me? That's exactly right, brothers and sisters. I matter not because of any intrinsic merit or worthiness in myself. No, I matter alone because of Jesus Christ, who could not bear to let me die. St. Paul puts it this way, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. You see, it's in God's self-sacrificing love upon the cross that we gain value and self-worth. And we can be sure of that value and self-worth because it was sealed in blood in holy baptism. And that blood isn't just any ordinary blood. It's the blood of the God-man, Christ Jesus, a blood that has the most infinite value. St. Peter describes it this way, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Now I know, because of this, that my life has true infinite value and meaning. For when I died and rose in the blood of the Lamb, I received divine life in Christ. There I was adopted into God's holy family and am co-heirs with Christ of an eternal existence. Now, as newborn children of God, we really can't serve God for salvation full and free, because when we really think of it, we don't really have anything in our possession that we can give to God that he doesn't already possess. But brothers and sisters in Christ, that doesn't mean that we have nothing to offer him. You see, we serve God best when we serve our fellow man. And that's what Jesus meant when he said these words. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. I leave you today with a story that one of my professors used to use to illustrate this point. He said a long time ago, two famous theologians died and were about to enter into the pearly gates. The first was the greatest theologian of the Middle Ages, Thomas Aquinas. The second was the greatest theologian of the Reformation, Martin Luther. When Thomas Aquinas stood before old St. Peter, Peter said to him, "Old Thomas, what fine theological books you have written, but what is all that stuff that you have along with you?" Thomas responded back, "Oh, those are all of my good works. I brought them here to heaven to serve my Lord." After that, St. Peter turned to Martin Luther. "Father Luther, what fine theological works you also wrote. But where are all your good works?" To this, Martin Luther responded, "Since I knew that God did not need them, I left them on earth for my fellow man. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Amen." The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the choir. us rise and pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are poor, miserable sinners. We know your will, but cannot fulfill it because of the weakness of our flesh and blood, and because our enemy, the devil, will not leave us in peace. Therefore, we beseech you, pour your Holy Spirit in our hearts, that in steadfast faith we may cling to your Son, Jesus Christ, find comfort in his passion and death, and believe the forgiveness of sins through him, and in willing obedience to your will, lead holy lives on earth, until by your grace, through a blessed death, we depart from this world of sorrow and obtain eternal life through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. You may be seated for an announcement.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Timothy Fogstead, and I am the president, the student body president of Bethany Lutheran College this year. And on behalf of all the students here, I would like to give the National Auxiliary a warm welcome this morning as they meet. Thank you guys for all that you provide throughout the year, from gifts to the colleges to special projects and the daily support of prayers and your thoughts for us. It really means a lot because the world is not always in favor of what we do here at Bethany and the support of the One Thing Needful. And it just means a whole lot to have this support here. Throughout the day, I would like to encourage you to explore the campus if you would like to. Our latest project that was completed over the summer was the renovation of the Viking Village over in Old Main. If you have any questions about anything, don't hesitate to ask. Really friendly people here, as you already know, and would love to answer any questions. Thank you for just, the vast support that you guys provide throughout the year, and God bless all that you guys do. Thank you.